time to feel the rush of the round table. Brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Are you really an independent contractor? Find out in seconds for free at PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
Welcome back. Roundtable for this Friday, the 8th of May. Ryan and Jay, along with our good friends, Chris Chapin, partner at Upstream Strategy. Good day, Chris.
Good day, Jay.
Queen's Park reporter for the Globe and Mail and avid fan of the Backstreet Boys. She admitted it here.
I did.
Laura Stone.
It's
no
true.
Shame there, Laura. No shame.
Nope, how no shame. Good. How are you guys?
Good.
You know, we're talking a little bit about sports and concerts and all sorts of different things as we chart this path back to normal and see what that looks like. Today, the provincial government announcing that sports teams will be given the green light to enter their practice facilities, although it's going to be a little different. You're not going to have all sorts of five-on-five basketball, you know, scrimmages going on and that type of thing. It's going to be a state of heightened health security. Here's Lisa McLeod, the minister responsible, talking about this announcement.
Each year, sports and recreation in the province of Ontario represents $12.6 billion in economic activity. And today we are lifting certain restrictions in a controlled, restricted, sanitized, and voluntary manner to allow for individualized training and conditioning for our major sports teams, whose leagues have come forward with rigorous health and safety protocols.
Chris, only in Ontario are we lifting restrictions in a restricted manner. I'm not even sure what that means, but it sounds fantastic. Listen, I think it's a good story when we talk about getting closer to getting that distraction back.
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt when I heard the announcement today. It's hard to read into what that means, and like with a lot of the announcements that the government's been making on all levels, you know, what the time frame for the actual back to normal approach is actually going to be. But I guess it's a bit of a sliver of hope that it's something they're exploring. And I know for a lot of people, just even the thought of returning to, you know, some kind of live sports, just even by watching by TV is, you know, a breath of fresh air and something to look forward to.
Yeah, Laura, I'm not sure I don't know how many of the teams you're into, what sports you're into. I'm curious, is this a big deal for you?
Well, I'm from Ottawa, so I'm a big Sens fan, which I know is a popular
opinion. Sorry, you're cutting out. I can't really hear you right now.
No, I'm just kidding. No, honestly, like, I think I'm not as big of a fan as some other people in my family, but I do think it is a welcome announcement, and Ontario is obviously taking a really cautious approach, but this kind of gives people hope that things are heading back to normal. I think people would love to, you know, even if stadiums aren't going to have crowds this summer, they'd love to watch a game, and especially play sports too. I think a lot of people are looking forward to that announcement of when arenas and basketball courts and parks open up and people can get together in a safe way, but start to do some exercise and do something physical again. So I think that this whole kind of the whole sports announcement is exciting for a lot of people.
One of the things I'm looking forward to, Ryan, is when Toronto FC start playing again and we get to watch the virtual Zoom march from Liberty Village through the tunnel over to the stadium.
Yeah, Chapin, you and I have done that before. How do you social distance that kind of thing?
Oh, that just makes me sad knowing that's not going to happen this summer. You've just taken me down a step, Jay, and
sorry,
you know, worse in my weekend. But no, I mean, listen, that's that. I was kind of joking. I was talking about that because I was looking at perhaps getting a new car, and I was thinking, you know, I want to get, you know, an SUV because I want to be able to throw a barbecue in the tailgate and drive down to Buffalo. And I realized, you know, that's not probably going to happen this year either. But yeah, I don't think we're social distance marching anytime soon to BMO Field.
The other big
tailgate
story
in Buffalo sounds like a bad idea anytime, especially now.
Are you trying to get yourself kicked off this show? What is with you?
Oh, sorry. No, I've been. No, I'm saying I've been. It's very fun, but it's, you know, at the best of times, it's a little sketchy, and I just don't think
I am going to socially distance Laura Stone off
okay,
this program.
I'm just not
She sounds like a politician walking back her policy.
Yeah.
That was really good, Laura. That was very funny. It was very funny.
With you. All right, let's go from sports to music. There are a couple of other stories we'll get to in a second, but Live Nation investors are getting a glimpse into the future, perhaps, from sales of tickets to see a country rock singer named Travis McCreadie. This would be the first socially distanced concert. You would have to get a row of seats, our understanding. Not really sure as to whether or not you'd have to buy the full row or one ticket would get you the full row by default, Laura, but this might be part of that new normal and that path forward.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully they wouldn't make people buy the whole row. That would be a little unreasonable, but I could see this working with some artists, like if it's more of like an acoustic artist or something a little softer. But I mean, part of the concert experience is being with the crowds, being with everyone, having some drinks, like high-fiving your neighbor, dancing. So if you're not able to do that, it does take away from the concert experience. That said, if they want to try it out and people are into it, that's great. I don't see going to a Stones concert or something and being able to socially distance.
Yeah, Chris, it's interesting because tickets, are already handed out at a premium or bought at a premium, and it's hard to get tickets. They're looking at 20% of the normal capacity. As an attendee, you'd have to wear a mask. You'd have to have your temperature checked at an entry point. Fog sprayers would be used to sanitize the venue. Bathrooms would be limited to 10 people at a time. Soap and paper towel dispensers would be touchless. This is a big change for a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, just hearing you list all that out, to me, it just kind of sounds like chaos, if we're being honest. I think the idea of, all those requirements just to get back to normal, I mean, I'm sure some people would want to do it. I can't imagine what the atmosphere of a concert like that would be. It makes me think the smaller the venue, actually probably the worse the show, just because it'd be so few people in attendance and you'd have to follow all these guidelines. I see the future almost being the idea of larger park kind of concerts would probably be the easier things to pull off, where you could pick a spot on, a section of the grass,
yeah.
Keep your distance that way. It just, I mean, to me that makes sense, but I don't know. That's sure. Anything getting back to normal would be nice, but that sure sounds like a lot of work just to hear some live music.
It would be interesting to see, and no disrespect to the gentleman having this Travis McCreadie guy that's having this country show, no disrespect to him, but it would be really interesting to see a larger artist do this type of thing, right? Because when you mention, basically all of the hoops you have to go through to go there, and all of the cleaning and deep cleaning and things that will be happening, you have to have six seats. I think there are artists that people, if you're a massive Lady Gaga fan, if you think you're going to see Elton John for the last time, and these artists are willing to go out there, people are always willing to pay a premium for a more intimate experience. And if we can find that sort of mixture between not being able to go to a concert at all and social distancing and having a smaller venue with a larger artist, I think that's the way forward. I think you're going to start seeing more and more shows just like this. And eventually, the venues will get bigger. You won't have to buy six tickets. You'll have to buy four tickets, then three tickets. And God forbid, you only have to pay for one eventually.
Yeah, they were also saying that, food would be prepackaged. There would be lids on things, food and beverages. So that's interesting, and an interesting wrinkle as well. What do you guys make of these bylaw enforcement agents? Of course, we've all been told, stay away from the cherry blossoms. Don't go near the cherry blossoms trees. Now, this is not happening in High Park, but happened at Trinity Bellwoods Park. You can see photographs of City of Toronto bylaw officers in front of the fenced off cherry trees. They are taking pictures of one another. At one point, there is one of them. They're all in uniform. One of them taking a picture of four of them against the fence. I think, Chris, it flies in the face of what we're all being told. The reason that there aren't any regular people there that aren't in uniform is because we've all been told to stay away from places like this.
Yeah, it's, I think this is just starting to build on where I think a lot of people's sentiment is getting towards. I know my sentiment personally is getting towards this. There's certainly some hypocrisy in what we're hearing and what we're being told to do and what we're not allowed to do. And I know personally, I'm getting quite frustrated with it, because it's stories like that that you hear that, and I know full well that I could go to Hyde Park and I could, if I wanted to, I could walk over there and look at the cherry blossoms and I could keep my distance more so than I'm able to standing in line to get into the grocery store across the street from me. So it's certainly starting to test people's patience. And I don't think government officials realize how little time they have left before I think people are going to start to throw in the towel and say, okay, enough is enough. I'm not going to listen to you anymore. I know that this is a common sense approach that I'm taking, and you're not taking a common sense approach. And I'm going to go to the park and I'm going to sit there with my kids and we're going to keep our distance and then we're going to go home.
Laura, I mean, yeah, people are saying that I'm making a mountain out of a molehill. I'm just simply pointing out hypocrisy here this afternoon, and it frustrates people who are doing the right thing and have been doing the right thing for the entire period.
Yeah, and I mean, we've heard a lot of stories, or a handful of stories at least, throughout this time of people getting pretty big tickets for playing basketball alone or walking in a park or on the waterfront. And so, you know, you don't hear of a bylaw officer doing a great job. You only hear the stories where people are displeased with it. So, you know, you can't cast them all with the same brush. But I do think that, yeah, it is bad form to be seeing officers kind of flout their power a bit when other people aren't able to do the same thing. And I agree with Chris that I think people are sort of getting to the point where they respect what's going on. They want to follow the rules, but they're getting pretty tired of it, and they're seeing the numbers stabilize. So I think the government realizes that there does need to be a loosening of sorts, and I think that will happen in fairly short order.
The union, which represents TTC employees, says it wants mandatory face coverings for all users of the system starting next week. They say with service cutbacks scheduled to take effect Sunday night, more businesses reopening, they're concerned about overcrowding on several TTC routes, which could increase the spread of COVID-19. This could be viewed, Chris, as the union saying, okay, if you're going to make cutbacks here, then we're going to make sure that we make some sort of change for our membership, or it could just be looked upon as common sense.
Yeah, it's actually something I was waiting and wondering when we'd hear, at least whether it was the city discuss this, the province discuss this, or in this case, the transit union discuss this. My fiance takes the subway to work, and it was something that was making her anxious because when she thought about, you know, the idea of finally getting to return to her office, she would every single day, every time we'd talk about this, she's like, yeah, but what am I going to do on the subway? Like, I go 9 to 5 and I'm jammed in like sardines at rush hour on both the bus and the subway. How are we going to possibly socially distance? I mean, the masks are, I guess, a first step, but even in that regard, just the idea of returning back to some semblance of normal right now, you're just not going to be able to do that on the subway. Anybody that's taken it during rush hour knows that you're lucky to get on the first subway that arrives at your station.
Laura?
Yeah, I think this is a crucial issue in Toronto for the hundreds of thousands of people who take TTC to get to work every day. So, if the economy is going to be reopening, it's not going to be open the floodgates and everyone gets on the subway and goes to work one day. It's going to be incremental. And I'd be interested to see if Toronto does some sort of crowd control or limiting the amount of people, if they have people standing at the gates and having a maximum amount during a certain time. It'll be really interesting to see how that works once people are allowed to go back to their jobs.
Laura, Chris, we appreciate it. Despite you, Laura, disagreeing with me and pretty much
I've disgraced myself, I see.
Yeah, taking a dagger.
No, that's how you come back. You agree, you disagree with Ryan. That's good for you. That bodes well for you.
Have a great weekend.
I was pretty sure I could hang her up on this thing.
Yeah,
exactly. How does this work?
Chris, Laura, thank you so much.
This News Talk 1010 podcast was brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.